Today on Real Radio.
Now, I got news for you. When was the book of Acts written? Before 1 Samuel or after 1 Samuel? After 1 Samuel. What happened in 1 Samuel 25? What happened after, between Acts and Samuel?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. We're in a series within a series called How to Handle a Fool. It's taken from 1 Samuel chapter 25. Here we're told of Nabal and Abigail, a married couple. One is foolish and one is wise. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called How to Handle a Fool.
He's an empty-headed fool. It's what his name states, and that's exactly how he lives. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Remember, David sent the entourage up ahead and said, hey, my guys are coming. We supplied good protection for you during these evil days, and we're hungry, we're thirsty, we want to come and take of what would be right. And David's very courteous, very gentle. And she said, listen, I'm so sorry. I didn't know you sent young men. You know what she's saying? She's saying, if I would have known, things would have turned out better. But I didn't know. Now, verse 26, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. In other words, you know what, David? She's diplomatic, isn't she? She's a pretty slick girl. It's a good thing that you're going to be so much under control, David, and hold back your hand from committing bloodshed and becoming evil like the rest. I know you don't want to taint your reputation and your walk with God. You see what she's doing? She's diffusing anger. When we left off with David, he was being noble, he was being godly, he was such a great example. And then this one little guy, a giant didn't set him off. Saul didn't set him off. The armies of the Philistines did not set him off, but a fool set him off. Isn't that how it is in our lives? We come from this great spiritual victory, and then we come home and, you know, maybe your child or your husband or your wife says something and it sets you off. You've experienced great victory, and then this thing happens? Now, sometimes God just allows perhaps things like that to happen to show us that we're not quite the legend that we thought we were. Pride comes before a fall. For whatever reason, David lost it, and he's going to go kill Nabal and all his men. Don't you love this guy, David, though? I mean, guys, come on. It's like, yeah. But that's not right. He's sinning here. He's goofing up. Let's look at Abigail for a minute. She's something. We need Abigail to run for political office today. You know it? She'd be fantastic. We need people like this. She's a woman of beauty and brain. The Bible tells us she's good looking and she was bright, spirit filled. An awesome catch, by the way. You find a woman with beauty and with brains, that's a great thing. Physical attraction is truly skin deep. It really is. I know you younger people, you don't think so. You're wrong. Beauty's only skin deep, physical beauty. It's only skin deep. The Bible says Abigail's beautiful to look at, and she's very, very brainy. She's beautiful on the inside, too. That's true beauty. And let me tell you something. Even if she wasn't beautiful on the outside, but she had it on the inside, after a while, you can be living with the most beautiful person on the planet. And if they're not sweet on the inside, they're bitter on the outside. I mean, if they're not sweet on the inside, that beauty up there in the front, it gets real old real quick. Don't be fooled by this modern age in which we live in. 1 Peter chapter 3 is a verse that applies to Abigail, I believe. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, Nabal, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. A godly example of the wife. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear or reverence. Do not let your adornment be merely outward. The Bible doesn't say do not adorn yourself outwardly. It says don't adorn yourself outwardly only. Please hold back the cards and letters. But it's okay to wear makeup if you want to wear makeup. Oh, Pastor, you know, I'm sure I'm going to get this thing now. Oh, you know, you just invited in the spirit of Jezebel. No, I did not. Makeup's not a sin. The Bible says, don't let it only be the adorning of the outward. It didn't say, don't adorn the outward. J. Vernon McGee, you've heard this before. He says, if the barn needs painting, paint it. That's kind of cute. Now, us guys, our wives would come back and say, yeah, if the belly needs exercising, exercise it, you know? I could hear that in my head. The moment I said the first thing, I could hear that in my head. Or the arranging of hair, wearing of gold, putting on of fine apparel. But rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. That's very, very, very excellent advice, especially in our day and age. Sounds nuts, huh? It's true. It doesn't matter that you can look so good. Listen, girls or guys, whatever we put on, know this, at the end of the day, it's going to come off. But what's on the inside is going to stick. It's going to stay. And we need to be cultivating that. Moms, if you have young daughters, cultivate that in them. Tell them, you've beautified the outside now, sweetie. Now let's beautify the inside. And it's easy to do it. We think, how do you do that? You know what? Moms, teach your daughters how to be women. Teach your daughters how to conduct themselves on a date. That day will come. To be a lady, to be godly. Listen, any guy can go anywhere and get any kind of a girl at any time, except a godly woman. The Bible says that if somebody finds a godly woman, they have found what? A good thing. And a godly woman glows. She just glows. A woman who loves the Lord, there is a beauty about them. And, I mean, it just can't be denied. And as I thought about this, there's only one thing more beautiful than a godly woman. Anybody know what it is? Who said that? Did you say what now?
Right.
Exactly right. The only thing more beautiful than a godly woman is a pregnant godly woman. I don't know what it is. They glow. You've seen them glowing. They've come in and out of this church. They're just glowing. They got that belly out there. And it's almost like they're just walking. It's just them and God. And it kind of makes you jealous. Lord, I know I can't get pregnant, but she's got something going on in her life with you, and it's very cool. They just glow. Why? What's happening? There's something going on in the inside spiritual that emits outward, and it changes their very countenance of who they are. It's spectacular. Abigail's that kind of a woman, a complete woman, is infinitely more attractive. And there's only one way for a woman or a man, I'm sure, to be attractive, and that's in the Lord. Verse 27, And now, she says, this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to your young men who follow my Lord, or David. Please forgive the trespasses of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house. She begins to prophesy now, the very will of God. Because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord. Guys and gals of this church, we want to have that attributed to our name, don't we? Two of us do. Jeff? All right. Right on, buddy. Ralph? Okay. Hey, we know who you guys are. You guys fight the battle of the Lord. That's awesome. Sign me up, man. That's excellent. And evil is not found in you throughout your days. Verse 29, this is sums up the ministry and the passion and the life. Listen to what she says. Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life. Who's she talking about? Saul. But the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. Can you mark that in your Bible? Please mark that in your Bible and make that a prayer of your life from this day on. God, we want to pray this in verse 29. Lord, bind up my life in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God, and the lies of your enemies shall, listen, sling out as from the pocket of a sling. No doubt what she says now. In her prophecy of David's life, she incorporates something of the past that causes David to stop and think, that's right, through the Lord, I've killed a giant. I need to just calm down. I'm going after a fool with vengeance. I'm going to risk murdering the lives of many of his men. I'm out of control. God is speaking to me through this woman. And no doubt in my mind, she's under the power of the Holy Spirit. She not only speaks about the future, she reminds David about the victories that he enjoyed with God in the past. She sums up David's life. And I love what she says. In verse 29, basically she's saying this, David, God is your reason and your passion for living. Your life is filled with his fullness, and it always will be. Because of this, no enemy can ever conquer you. That's what she's saying. Acts 13:22 says, so the Lord raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. Isn't that fantastic? Now, I got news for you. When was the book of Acts written? Before 1 Samuel or after 1 Samuel? After 1 Samuel. What happened in 1 Samuel 25? What happened after, between Acts and Samuel? David murders Uriah so he can have his wife, what's her name? Bathsheba. He fornicates with her, commits adultery. And the book of Acts says this about him? Does God excuse that? No. Did David repent of it? Yes. But did he bear the scars and the reaping of it? Oh, yeah. But isn't it interesting that David's life is also found in Hebrews chapter 11, in the great chapter of the faithful and of the righteous? In that great chapter, God points out no wrong and no evil of all those people, yet every one of them were sinners. In Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham is praised. Abraham made a lot of mistakes, people, but God doesn't bring it up. In that chapter, David's praised. David made a lot of mistakes. In that chapter, and it goes on and on with these people, Gideon, and so on. Yet God doesn't bring up any of the negative. To all of us who are Christians tonight, that's the truth of the story that God would write. But God might, no, he only remembers that which gives him glory and that which is righteous. Yeah, but what about my, he doesn't, did you repent of it? Yes, he removes that. We talked about that on Sunday. It's gone. Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter on faith. There is no Hebrews chapter 12 on a chapter of failure. Isn't it amazing? I'm very grateful that in that, God's very selective. Note here, if you would, as we've read, the intercession of Abigail. She reminds me of Stephen in the Bible. The intercession of Abigail reminds me of Jesus in the New Testament. The intercession of Abigail reminds me of Moses in the Old Testament. I start to see a picture of the believer. They have the attributes and character qualities of Jesus Christ, of the Lord himself, in forgiving people and interceding for people instead of judging people. We're out, as I said earlier, standing out on the property with Justin Alfred this afternoon, and I was just talking to him, and he said, you know, I bet you're learning a lot. I said, I'm learning a lot. He goes, what's one of the biggest things that you're learning. I said, honestly, right now, to never mention, critique, or criticize anyone who's involved in a church building project ever. Because number one, God thinks more about the building than we do. That surprised me. Number two, what I thought I knew 2 years ago, I don't know nothing now. I thought when I was 25, I knew everything about this topic and no one could tell me a thing. Now I know so little about it. I know more, but that more is less to compared to what's to be known. The older I get now, the more I have a tendency to kind of back off and not judge anymore. You know why? Our judgment is absolutely worthless. Well, how come? Well, why? Why did you? No more. Only God knows. I've done it all. Lord, you know, if you do this, it'd work better that way. He doesn't listen to a word I say. And that's a good thing. But you know what? Abigail, I don't know her age. It's not revealed in Scripture. But you know what? She's a woman wise beyond her years. She either had, no doubt, a great upbringing in the faith, or she had a lot of hard knocks, maybe both. Give me a brand new believer because I love their zeal and their faith. It's huge. And give me a good old seasoned saint. I don't mean old in age. I mean old. They've been through the ringer with God. One person, the new believer, will charge your batteries and give you almost like, you know when your old dog at home's getting old, what do? You go buy a puppy. And your old dog will jump and run like you've never, that dog hasn't run like that in 5 years, but you buy a puppy and that old dog wakes up, something clicks. Put me around a new believer and you get clicked. It's awesome. They read the Bible. Hey, it says right here in verse 8. Come on, let's go do it. All right, let's go. That's a new believer for you. People who have no experience with God, but they've lived a, quote, Christian for a long time, they tell you why you can't do that verse. Oh, you can't do that verse. Well, how come? Because I've never done it. Can't be done. Anybody read that book, Who Moved My Cheese? Get the book. You can't do that. Why? Hasn't been done. So let's do it. You can't do it. It has not been done, I'm telling you. So let's do it. You can't do it. Why? It has not been done. New believers don't know anything about that. And then an old seasoned saint that's been beat up and gone through the ringer and the Lord's been with them the whole time and they've seen God do great things, they just say, well, you know what? Look, the new believer wants to go do it. I've seen God do anything and everything. Let's go. The seasoned saint says, you know what? I've seen God do things I never dreamed of. And let's go, because if God's going to do something, this is what the old seasoned saint says, if God's going to do something, I'd rather be dead than miss it. And so the old guy in the faith gets up and goes with the new believer, and they both turn the world upside down, or right side up. Try it. It's the only way to live. Luke 23:34 says, Jesus spoke unto them and says, spoke unto him and said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Abigail intercedes like Jesus does. It's pretty amazing. Acts 7:59, and they stoned Stephen, and as he was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then Stephen knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, and he said, Lord, fry these unbelievers for their con... No, he says, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. James 5:20, let him know, that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. Listen to Abigail's life. It's so New Testament. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. The character qualities of Abigail are so Christ-like. Verse 23, she acted with urgency when needed. Verse 24, she acted in humility. Verse 25, she acted in mercy. Verse 26, she acted in counsel. Verse 27, she acted with gratitude. Verse 28, she acted with respect. Verse 29, she acted with vision. Verse 30, she acted in faith. Verse 31, she acted in grace. She acted the way that Nabal should have acted when David came out, and he didn't. Why? She had a character that was developed because of her faith. Her faith was lived out. Well, you know what? Same was true about Nabal. Nabal had a character, and he lived it out too. His character was wood, hay, and stubble at best. One old-time author said, we need to find an Abigail and marry her like David did. Marry yourself to her character quality. Marry yourself to Christ, he said. Draw near, fellowship, be with people who provoke this kind of action in our lives. Point number six, how to handle a fool. We learn this, verses 32 to 38, that God is in control, even over the fool. Look to God to intervene. Look to him to intervene. It says in verse 32, then David said to Abigail, this is a tremendous turn of events, blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. God's intervention. God intervenes. Now watch, pause right there. Church, listen, God intervenes every day in our lives. He does it every day. We just don't notice it every day. We don't recognize it every day, but he does it every day. David is like this. He's on his horse. He is stark raving crazy to go and kill a Nabal. He's flying down the path. He's got his men with him. He's got his sword drawn or his sling getting ready to go, and he is going to kill. God intervenes. He could have knocked David off of his horse. He didn't. God could have spooked the horse. He didn't. Could have sent an angel. He didn't. He sends Abigail to teach us about her character quality, and also that when a woman or a man acts like Abigail does, it can change the course of history. And history's been changed by very apparent minuscule things, things that really don't seem to matter. Here comes this woman. She's got her offerings. She's got her message to tell David. She's married to a fool. Stop, ladies. Right there. Think. She could have thought, you know what? David is a warrior. He has really been out of shape. Finally, he's going to kill my husband. Get rid of that bonehead so I can live my life. Now, I know no woman in this church would think like that, but she could have thought like that. That's one way to get, you could have a message, you know, how to get rid of a fool. How to get rid of a fool? Don't intercede for him. But you're not doing the heart of God. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know who I live with. God does.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a lesson called How to Handle a Fool. It's actually a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapter 25 and part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at this Old Testament historical narrative. And we'll continue with more of How to Handle a Fool on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, you've heard us tell you about Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Of course, that's our Monday evening television program. Well, reallifewithjackhibbs.org is our website. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can watch, listen, search, browse by category, check out all that's available in our store. It's all right there. There are tabs and buttons that take you to archived Real Radio broadcasts, Real Life Devotions with Jack Hibbs, which, by the way, you can subscribe to and get in your email box. We've got resources that'll help you grow as a believer and a whole lot more. So check out reallifewithjackhibbs.org when you get a chance. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And of course, if you're on the go and you want even more convenience, download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. It's free. Just go to your app store and look for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.